Hi, welcome to We Shoot, We Score. I'm your host, Blakely, and this is your favorite soccer podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about Matt Turner. But before we get into that, we have our Soccer World Records of the Day. But before we get into that, Bria is back again today. So, welcome back, Bria.
Hi, thank you.
We're so excited to have you back. And Matt Turner is one of her favorite players. He's a goalkeeper, and she's a good goalkeeper, so she really likes him. So yep. She wanted to join us today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So now, our Soccer World Records of the Day. These are really cool. I was like, whoa. Okay. Farthest distance to head a soccer ball into a target. This is completed by David Rush. 52 feet.
52?
I know. It's wild.
That's crazy. That's like almost half.
Well, it's a lot.
But a lot
more than most people can head the ball, if you even can in the first place, because it's, like, against your instincts. Like, you're, like, everyone's, like, don't hit your head, like, duck, and then they're throwing, like, a ball's coming at you from the air, and you, like, go towards it. So, it's hard to learn, but once you get it, it's good. But 52 feet takes a lot of practice.
Yeah, that would probably hurt if you hit it wrong, especially.
Like, oh, yeah, for sure, because you'd have to have, like, momentum before that.
Totally.
All right, second one. We have women's soccer match attendance record. 91,648 people attended the UEFA Women's Champion League game between Barcelona Femini and Wolfsburg. That is so many people. That's crazy. That's really good. That's exciting.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. That's really cool.
Women's soccer, like, fans have, like, grown so much over the years.
Building.
Yeah, it's great. They were building. More, it's like, they're, like, pretty equal now. Like, they have a good amount of crowds.
Yeah, most teams.
Yeah, they have a good amount of crowds now, especially the U.S. women's team. They've got just as big of a crowd, and they're really successful. They're doing really well. So, pretty cool. And our third and final Soccer World Record of the day, we have largest kick in soccer history. This is really cool. This is done by Tom King. He's a goalkeeper. He kicked a total of 105 yards. This was from the six, which is the smaller box in a goalie's goal, in case you didn't know that. Bonus Soccer World of the day. And he kicked it from his six, and it went all the way across the field and went in the goal. Yeah.
In the goal?
Yeah. So, he's got a leg.
But it doesn't count.
Well,
unpunted, it doesn't count.
It wasn't a pen. It was just
It was a goal kick?
I know. It's crazy.
Not even necessarily
a goal kick. It's just a kick. Like, it's crazy. And that's exciting. Like, most goalkeepers don't get a goal, which is, like, fine, because they're not expected to. That's not their job, and it's really hard to do that, and
he just did it in one kick
from the opposite side of the field, and, like, professional fields are rather big, so that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, that's a very big deal. That's so awesome.
Yeah. All right. Now we have all about Matt Turner, so let's get started. Matt Turner is 30 years old, and he's an American pro soccer player, and he plays goalkeeper for his Premier League team, the Crystal Palace, and the United States men team. His full name is Matthew Charles Turner. He was born June 24th, 1994, in Park Ridge, New Jersey. So, his parents are Stu and Cindy Turner, and he has two older sisters, Michelle and Kelly. He has a wife. Her name is Ashley Huron. She's an ex-NFL cheerleader. So,
oh, cool.
I mean, different, like,
NFL cheerleader.
Yeah, different sports, obviously, but, like, both part of really
She's probably
big.
Really good at cheering for him in his game.
Yeah. And they got married in May of 2022, and in June of that same year, they had their son, Easton. So, nowadays, he's only about two. Maybe a little more than that, but, like, I'm not going to get into the specifics of the months and the days and everything, but he's two. As
2 years and four, I don't know.
Yeah. He's 6'3", super tall, and his number's 30, and he wears size 16 cleats. Crazy.
16?
I know.
Those must be, like, customized.
I know. Like, he wears, like, Nike ones with, like, gold around the edges. Yeah. They're really cool cleats, but they're rather large.
Yeah, that's probably a lot of work to, like, get those, like,
probably custom, and he probably, like, yeah, it's a whole
thing.
Yeah. As a kid, he attended St. Joseph Regional High School. As a little kid, he dreamed of being a Yankees shortstop, and he loved baseball. We'll get into that more later, but, like, he was a big baseball fan as a kid, so he still loves the Yankees. He has lots of awards, such as the MLS All-Star, the CONCACAF Gold Cup Golden Glove. Like, you've probably heard, if you've listened to the earlier episodes, or if you just know what they are, the Golden Boot Awards, but that's for, like, I mean, technically, goalies wear cleats just like any other soccer player,
but
the
they
Golden
don't use
Glove.
them cheating.
Yeah, the Golden Glove. So
makes
it's
more sense.
Specifically for goalies. Mm-hmm. CONCACAF Nations League Golden Glove. So two different of those, but from like, there's both CONCACAF, but one's Golden Cup and one's Nations League. And he was the MLS Goalkeeper of the Year. And there's so many more awards, not to mention the fact that he made history as the very first American goalie to have achieved multiple shutouts in the FIFA World Cup since the 1930s. So he is pretty legit.
Yeah, and I always, sorry, going back to how tall he is, I always, like, he doesn't not look that tall on the field. Like,
no, he doesn't
most soccer
act
players,
like,
when I see them on the field, like, playing, they don't seem as tall or short as they are, like, actually.
They just all seem kind of the same. But, yeah,
yeah.
He is very tall.
Because you don't really pay attention to that when you're watching soccer. But.
Yeah. In his career, many different clubs have been lucky enough to have him as their keeper. Some of the teams he played for in the past are Arsenal, New England Revolution, Nottingham Forest, and the Richmond Kickers. He currently has a 17-4-7 record with 101 saves in 2021. Pretty amazing stats. That's wild.
101. Wow. That's.
Yeah. He seriously makes it look so easy. And
yeah, he's just like, boop. I love watching him. Like, he's not there and then he's there. I'm like, he's so fast.
Yeah. Okay, Crystal Palace, his club team, pays him $40,000 weekly, which is equal to, well, 40,000 euros, because it's, I mean, not, it's like a Europe sort of thing. But that's equal to $41,684.76 in American dollars in a week. Like, whoa. He deserves it, though.
He's
very
really
important.
Yeah.
His favorite team is currently the Yankees. He had, he was actually a walk-on for the Fairfield University soccer team at the age of 19. And he had a mistake in 2013 where the ball hit him in the face during a game and went into the goal. And it was like everyone knew about it. It really bothered him. And honestly, I think that they made it more of a big deal than it actually was. Like, yeah, the ball's going in the goal and it's not good, but nobody's perfect and you can't be expected to, like, never make a mistake, especially as a goalie.
Yeah, totally.
And obviously he learned from it because he never did it again, but his coaches actually asked him to take the rest of the season off so that he could get over it mentally because he was being really tough on himself. So it was like a mental health thing for him because almost everyone knew about it and he was getting a lot of like tough things from people that were saying to him. So, but it's one mistake. People have made it all the time. And honestly, more offensively, if an offender would have made that mistake, it wouldn't have been as big of a deal because it doesn't cause a goal. But as a goalie, it's just like everyone makes it more of a big deal because, yeah, you get a goal, but anyone can make that mistake.
Yeah.
And like, he's made so many positive things for the team that I think it's okay to make a mistake every once in a while. For sure. And he does not make mistakes a lot.
Beautiful shot.
After the whole ordeal, he said, "The love I felt for the game was going to define me. Not one moment." In 2022, he began to play for Arsenal, and in their game against Wales, he made an amazing save. He hadn't been shot on for 64 minutes of the game, so he's probably a little bored and ready to get in it, but also not overly warmed up, because you warm up before the game, but, like, and he might have been, like, bouncing up and down a little bit, but, like,
probably, knowing him, yeah.
Yeah, but he didn't act like it, and then a shot came in hot for a Wales from a Wales player, and he jumped it up and headed it over the goal. So, goalies tip it, like, they jump up and use their hands and tip it back over the goal. He headed it, which is definitely risky, but he has the talent that he could do that. Most people wouldn't trust their head for that because it's not a lot of people's like specialties because it can be a little technically hard. But he just did it and
he's just like, boom!
Definitely redeemed himself. Later that game, he was challenged with a penalty kick and almost saved it, but it barely slipped out of his hands. Although clearly disappointed, it was a save that would, like, most people would not even dream of even being close to saving. So he was really close, and they didn't end up losing 2-1, but they had a goal, and they would have, like, Arsenal had a goal, and Wales would have had one more goal if he hadn't made that amazing, like, header over the top. So I think it was fine. After this game, he said, "I want that responsibility to show myself on the world stage," Turner said. "It's the first time I've said that out loud. I feel I deserve to play." He's played in multiple games for multiple different teams. He's played for the Richmond Kickers in 27 games, and it probably would have been more, but he was on loan, so they only had him for the 2016 to 2017 season. For Fairfield University, mentioned earlier, he played 39 games from 2012 to 2015. And for the New England Revolution, he's played in 108 games from 2016 to 2022. Now that I've told you all that, I have a crazy fact for you. With all those awards and accomplishments, you're probably like, dang, he was born playing soccer, but that's not true. He actually started playing in high school when he was 14 years old. And he started playing just to stay in shape for baseball and his basketball, which were like his real sports, quote unquote, but ended up sticking with it and getting really good at it. And obviously.
Yeah.
I mean,
totally.
Honestly, he could have stuck with, like, I don't know how good he was at baseball as a kid, but like, he could have stuck with basketball, I'm sure, because of his height, but he chose soccer, and we are very thankful for that.
Yes, thank you.
But
thank
like,
you.
He must have done a ton of hard work, because most people, like most professional players, start when they're really young, and yes, they're very good too, but he started at 14 and still came out like that. Similar to Crystal Dunn, it's crazy, right? Like, they have not nearly as many years of training, but they just make up for it because they have a good work ethic and the talent
like,
for it.
I'm gonna try this.
Yeah.
And then and it works.
Yeah, they did great. So, all right, that's all we have on Matt Turner today, but before we can close out, we have our three soccer words of the day. Today, they're positional. So, I will hand the first one over to Bria. Can you define striker to everyone?
That would probably be, well, not probably, that would be the front, forward. So, sometimes you have, well, it depends on your formation, but sometimes there's a striker, sometimes there's a couple forwards, but usually there's a striker, the middle forward.
Yeah, and like sometimes there's double forwards, but, like, double strikers, but the one we're talking about, they're a striker, and they, like, they go up, and they have to dribble around and stuff. Very important. They score lots of goals. So,
yeah.
Pretty easy. Yeah, for sure. And there's some pretty amazing strikers out there, so if you look up any videos of, like, amazing strikers or anything, you'll find some pretty awesome stuff. And that goes for any of these positions. There are amazing ones, like goalies, stoppers, sweepers, wingers, strikers, all these different players. There's so many different
CDMs.
Cool ones. Yeah, we talked about CAMs and CDMs in the last episode, so our second one is stopper. It's a defensive position. Not everyone has it. Like, almost, well, everyone has midfielders and defenders and forwards.
Yeah, those are
in their
just,
positions. Those are just the foundation of more complicated and technical positions that can come out of those, like, sections, those characteristics. And, like, everyone has those three, but then you can kind of branch off creatively in your own different way for what works best for your team, depending on, like, are you more defensive heavy? Are you more offensive heavy? So, like, CDMs, CAMs, stopper, striker, stopper, sweeper, those are all, like, different positions that people try depending on what works for their team.
But sometimes there's one on one side in the middle and one on the other side.
Yeah.
Like, double middle,
so,
and then two on the outside, or just three.
So, we talked about striker. We talked about a stopper last episode.
Sweeper.
Or a sweeper. Now we're talking about a stopper. And a stopper, they just go slightly forward of the sweeper. They're in the middle. Sometimes they're captains, but we talked about how sweepers are normally almost always captains because they're in the center of the field and they always direct their defense. And most people have an offensive and a defensive captain. So normally they are, but sometimes sweepers are too. It just depends on your leadership skills, I guess. And your talent. So stoppers are a little more offensive. They go pressure the balls that are kind of like in the middle, in between where the defense is and the midfielders are. They kind of get that so the team doesn't get it. They pressure that more, but they also help. They're not the last defender, though. That would be the striker. So on corner kicks and stuff, they sweep it. Oh my gosh. So on corner kicks and stuff, they push up more to the corner kick, and the sweeper stays back to hold line in case anyone makes a breakaway from the corner, our corner kick on the other side, and comes back toward the goal because they want to be there so that it's not all up to the goalie.
Yep.
All right. And for our third and final, we have wing defense. Bria, you can explain this one if you want.
All right. So that would just be the outside of the defense.
Yeah. And their job is
not that complicated. So there's the middle, which are stoppers, sometimes just center defense. And then the wingers, but they're like midfield, but not midfield. Like,
well, they're not.
They're like
midfield. Sometimes you have offensive defenders. Like, some people choose to, like, if they have fast wing defenders and they can trust their center defenders, they push up their wing defenders and have them more offensive but still defensive. They're really important to block those corners because if they don't, then it's easy for people to dribble down that way and come in and cross it in towards the middle. So them, like, taking care of those corners are really important. So wing defense is very important. All the positions have a really important part.
Just behind the midfield.
All right, and that's all we have for you today. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you, Bria, for coming. She will be back sometime soon whenever she thinks she's not busy enough. And shoot us an email if you have any questions, and visit our Instagram page and follow and look for more episodes. We appreciate you guys. Thank you for coming today.
Thank you.
Bye.